Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm delighted to be here with you this month of June. The weather is hot. There's storms brewing all over. But in the sunshine state of Florida, we are shining bright. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And I'm in the state of Michigan, and today we have sunshine. So, Val, thank you for sending us some sunshine because we've had rain for the last 4 days. Welcome, everyone.
Yeah, I'm flying out tomorrow to Baltimore, and I have some friends that just left Houston, and they said that there was storms were so bad there that they had flight delays, but they finally got a flight out, and she texted me and said, we're on a plane, and I was like, okay, I'm praying for them because that weather is brewing over there. So those that are traveling and listening in, thank you for joining us on Hot Topics from the Soul. Muhammad Ali said that he hated every minute of training, but he said the one thing he kept telling himself is don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion. And speaking of champions, I have with us special guest Ray Shipman. He is the CEO and founder of Championships Foundation. Ray, are you there?
Yes, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited about you and the work that you're doing in the community. I got an email today asking me if I would join in a walk that they're doing because of this drug called Flacca. You know anything about that?
Yes, I have, and it's been a huge breakout down here in South Florida. Been hearing about it. Been hearing some bad things about it affecting some of the youth, and I was surprised about that. But anything to stop that or raise awareness on how negative that drug and how effective it can be to your health, that'll be great. So yeah, if you can let me know more about that walk or anything to raise awareness on that drug, count me in.
Yeah, you know, I see that your foundation works with children, and are they mainly in the inner city?
Yes, inner city, all of South Florida. I don't cut it off to anyone. Young athletes of all walks of life, so inner city youth in suburban areas, you name it. We try to affect as many lives as we can.
Okay, so what made you found this foundation?
To tell you the truth, this was not my plan. Well, not my intentions, but they say it never is. This is always God's plans for you. But my main goal was to play in the NFL, play professional for as long as I could. But unfortunately, that was cut short. And I came home and had a camp. Had a camp at my high school, a basketball and football camp. And it was a nice turnout. The news came out. We had some skill drills for the kids. And we emphasized education at this camp. And from there, it just took off. After the camp, there was parents constantly hitting me up, asking me other events, what was I going to do. And from there, I said, I don't want to just have camp. So I saw that I can affect these kids' lives. I just branded my organization, which would allow me to do many other things. So since then, I've been fortunate enough to host various health fairs, job fairs, and other camps under the brand of Championships, Inc.
Well, you know, you definitely have the heart of a champion, and this is what the show is all about today, you know, pressing through regardless of obstacles that we face on a daily basis. Now, you said that you played in the NFL. Did you always aspire to do that in high school? Did you see that as a youth? How did that come about?
Oh, that's an even funnier story. My high school and youth was consumed with basketball. My initial dream was to play in the NBA. I played high school basketball all 4 years. I had only played football my freshman year of high school. So I was only playing basketball. I got a scholarship to play at the University of Florida. Was playing basketball there for 2 years. Things weren't going how I wanted them to, and I was stuck in a hard place. But I had played football when I was younger. And a lot of my friends that were mad at me when I stopped playing when I was younger. So I said, I'll give it a try. So I transferred to the University of Central Florida and was fortunate enough to go there on a scholarship to play football and played there for 2 years and started to pick up things. I saw that football could be in my future. So from there, after 2 years at the University of Central Florida, I was fortunate enough to be signed with the New Orleans Saints. So if you would have asked me what I'll be doing maybe 6 years ago, I would have never told y'all had played a down in the NFL. My dream would have been to be playing in the NBA.
Wow. How important is education? I noticed that you seem to have had that, like, on the foundation of your work that you're doing now, getting an education. Were you always this way as it came to education?
I was. My mom is a teacher. She still lives. She's been a teacher for over 17 years. And she's always instilled that into me. You know, that's what my foundation was built on. I can remember coming home with trophies or winning first place in basketball or football, and she would always let me know, okay, well, make sure you continue bringing home straight A's with those trophies. And I always would. So she instilled that into me. And all throughout my years in school, I've always been excelled just as equal in sports and education.
You know, one of the things that I don't like about some of the coaches that are out there working with these children that are in middle school and high school, you know, they drive them and push them out there on the field as it relates to sports, but when it comes to education, they're like, you know, barely making it, and they're using sports as a way of escape. How do you deal with that issue through your foundation with the children you're working with?
Well, I have this saying that I always open up when I'm talking to kids, young athletes of any age. I always ask these two questions. I ask, how many kids play basketball, football, any sport? And they'll raise their hands. And I say, I have another question. How many kids who play those sports are on the honor roll? And some of those hands that were originally up will go down. And then I'll let that segue into me letting them know that you can be as good as LeBron James, Michael Vick, you name it. If you don't have the grades, it's pointless. You won't be allowed to play. And a lot of their eyes will just open up real wide, and I know I caught their attention when I let them know that, because a lot of them aren't aware of that. A lot of those kids who are doing great in sports at a young age, their coaches aren't telling them that. Their coaches are telling them at a young age that, yeah, man, you keep doing this, you'll be in the NFL. You keep doing this, you'll be in the NBA. And it's hurting the kid. It's essentially hurting them and hurting their growth.
Now, Shirley, you've got all boys. Were they sports as well?
Well, what my kids were into sports, but the coaches here gave them an option. In other words, they gave them an ultimatum. You're either going to do sports or you're going to do these school thing. That's what they called it. My boys chose their schooling, and they're very athletic. And what I had to do for their so they can still do things with sports but not play on their school teams and things, I put them in AAU and other programs, and like your program, because they have the ability. And I've had people actually work with my son. I have one son that he actually went to the Junior Olympics throwing a javelin. Never threw a javelin before in his life. He looked at it. He watched it at one of the meets we were at. And it was a state meet, and he said, I want to do that. I can do it. And he went all the way to the Junior Olympics with it. When we got there, they thought he had been training for years. And I said, no, he picked it up a couple weeks ago. And they said, wow, we have kids that train for years. And he had an arm on him that he could have been a great quarterback. There was the first black quarterback out of Michigan. Actually worked with him. He said, this kid has an arm that's out of this world. And this son of mine is like 6'4 and a half, and he loves basketball. And he was the one that when they had a new gym open up here for the kids and everything, he actually shattered the glass because he can dunk. Wow. He leaps. He's got a vertical. Oh, my God. He comes up out of the gym, as I would tell him. I said, you look like Michael Jordan flying across the rim. Very good at handling the ball. So was my other son, but they wasn't allowed to play the sports that they wanted to play. And for my younger son, what he did for himself, he said, I'm going to get my letter in sports from this school. So what my sons do, they decide to play golf, tennis, and soccer, something that was not customary for the young black males in this town. It was either football or basketball. So in order to get their letters, they decide to do other sports than other kids wouldn't do. But those two young men end up graduating from high school as ambassadors for Australia and also being who's who among high school students. So they chose education over being in the organized sports of the school.
Wow.
So as you're working with these young people, Ray, is it just young men or is it little girls and boys?
It's both girls and boys. When it comes to football, number of girls diminishes. But you'd be surprised I have one or two girls who are interested in football. But it's opened up to all races, all genders. We're just letting the kids know, kids of all ages, know the importance of having the balance between academics and athletics.
If someone wanted to get a hold of you to enroll their child into Championships Foundation, how could they connect with you?
Well, it's one of three different ways. We have our email address you can reach us at, which is info@championshipsfoundation.org. Or you can visit our website, which is www.championshipsfoundation.org. And then finally, our office number, which is 305-335-1442. And we're constantly updating our websites. If you'd like to be on our mailing list, we're constantly sending out updates on different events and activities taking place. We are hosting down here in South Florida.
Okay, so you do things all throughout the year, it's just not for the summer.
Exactly. We're doing things throughout the whole year. And right now we're actually working on opening up our own after-school program. So we're looking to launch that this fall once school starts back up.
Now, the camps that you have, are they free or is there a fee?
The fees that from some of our camps just cover transportation. Like we had a camp last year with the Miami Dolphins. And that was $10 for the kids, which is for the activities and being able to go to watch the Dolphins practice and then practicing on the same field that the Dolphins use for $10. You can't beat that. Mm-hmm. So we try to limit the cost to as low as possible.
How long does the camp last?
This camp, it was a one-day camp. This year we're going to do three days. We're going to break it out into three different groups because last year we had over 200 kids and it was hard.
Wow.
Being able to overlook 200 kids, we didn't expect that many kids. But this year we're going to break it out into three different days.
Okay, so you had the kids for one or two days and you had over 200?
We had it for one day and we had over 200.
One day.
So we're trying to double that number this year.
Now, do you mentor these children throughout the year? How does that work?
Yes, we have different events outside of camps. So earlier this year, we had a job fair. It was titled Plan B. And this event was at St. Thomas University. And we had over 10 companies looking to hire. So we had those companies in the lobby tabling. And then they were there for a while, open for about an hour. And then the crowd transitioned into the auditorium, where we had a panel of former athletes who are now working in corporate America. And these panelists, they mentor each for about 5 to 7 minutes, and then we opened it up for Q&A. So it's more than camps that we do. Our emphasis is mentoring, because there are a lot of different camps going on that don't emphasize education. I don't want
right.
That's a big misconception that we get a lot with the organization, that is just predicated around football and basketball camps, which isn't true.
Okay, what do you find are the greatest adversities that the children that you're working with face?
The greatest adversities, which a lot of people don't really aren't aware of, are the adults that are putting in pressure on these kids and putting them in situations where the chances of succeeding are slim to none, just because of the negative influence they're putting on them, the pressures they're putting on them, and the false knowledge that they're putting on some of these kids. So some of these kids are clueless, all because of the cluelessness, the lack of knowledge from the adults that are telling them the process that they assume comes with being a professional athlete.
Wow. So you feel, and let me ask you this, do you think that the parents are putting pressures on their kids because of you being who you are, you know, experience at NFL and have all these connections?
Who's who I am? I think the pressure is put on the kids from the parents on who the parents what the parents want their kids to be. So
okay.
I think there are many cases where parents are going to make their kids professional football players. Well, you have to take care of the family. You're the only way out. All this pressure is on the kids.
Wow.
Or making a kid play a sport that they don't love, but just because the parent knows this sport makes a lot of money if you make it professionally. And you'll see that in the kids when they're playing, not for the love of the game, but because they're being forced to play.
And do you find or think that that's one of the reasons why the kids fall off as far as education is concerned?
I think that's one of the reasons. That is one of the reasons. Because with that lack of knowledge that's being taught to them, it's being taught all about sports. And then if a kid is doing something they aren't interested in, let alone their parents aren't interested in, if the parent isn't interested in what the kid is bringing home on that report card, the kid isn't going to show interest to education at all.
Okay. Now, I was a single parent. Once my children were between the ages of 8 and 14, I have 2 boys and 2 girls. And I remember taking my boys to the football games, you know, with Lauderhill and Lakes. My kids play for Lakes, and I'm out there, and the kids are playing, and I was that type of mother that was on the sidelines talking about, y'all get off my baby. Stop hurting my baby. And then when they went on to high school, they started playing football. But my oldest son, who is a teacher now, he did track. And he wound up being the captain of his track team and winning all these awards and then who's who because of his ability in track. But I remember him always picking at his younger brother, saying, "Ah, you're a sissy. You can't take it. You're not hard. And he wound up going and playing football throughout high school, and then he played for Pace University throughout his whole years there. He got his BA and master's there, and he played for them professionally. And he would get broke up and busted up, and he'd be like, I'm going out there because I wanna probably do this for a living professionally. And I'm on the sidelines praying, please, please, just let the boy get his education, because I just couldn't take it. Now, when your mother was pushing your education, did she also push the sports apart as well?
Oh, my goodness, did she? She was right there in education, but she was just as behind me in sports. She was at both of my parents. My mom and dad. I was fortunate enough to be brought up in, with both my parents, but they were both supporting me and my sister every anything we were so interested in, they were supporting us. And whatever made me happy made my parents happy. And since they knew my dream was to play professional sports, they pushed me because they knew that's what I wanted to do. They didn't push me because that's what they wanted me to do. They pushed me because they wanted me to have my dreams come true. And they were older and knew what it took. And I really didn't know what it took at a young age. It wasn't until I started getting older and started realizing that my parents are pushing me because they only want what's best for me. And if I have a dream, they want to help me make this dream come true, only for the simple fact because of this is what I want to do. Now, if I had woken up one day and told my parents, I don't want to play ball anymore, they would have said, okay, well, what do you want to do? You're going to have to do something. And if I would have told them I want to be an astronaut, they were going to be pushing me to make sure I did what I need to do to become an astronaut. So that was what helped me and my sister throughout our years coming up, with the support from our parents. And that support opposed from them pressuring us.
Oh, okay. Now, you know, with your foundation and it saying championships, how did that name come about?
It's a funny story. It's a funny play with words, but it was, honestly, I was laying home in the bed one day and messing around. I like to draw, and this is when I was thinking about branding an organization that would be able to help a lot of the kids, young athletes. And my last name, Chipman, and I was just looking up at the ceiling one day, and it hit me like a light bulb on the top of my head in the cartoon. But it just hit me. And I tell people it hit me, and I really think it was God. I know it was God, because just what I've been able to do in such a short time with my foundation, it really shows me walking in my purpose. Because I have my background in nonprofit organizations, foundation is limited. But if you're looking from the outside looking in, you wouldn't know that. So it's just been God helping me over these different obstacles and pointing me in the right direction.
Yeah. How do you talk about being a champion to the individuals that you're mentoring, and how do you implement that in the training process? I know you said, you know, people don't talk about it that often and stuff like that, but you said that you talk to the children. You know, I have parents that are tuning in and listening, and they want something more. They want more than them just going out there trying to do basketball or football. They want, because a lot of them don't have fathers, that we've got a lot of single parents here on the show, and how do you implement them so that they can see you as a mentor or male role to follow?
It goes beyond sports and beyond that academics at times, because I let them know you want to have good character. You want to be a champion on the field, in the classroom, or whatever you do. And a lot of times I tell them about social media and talk to them about their social media pages. And let them know that you may not think people are watching what you post, but what you're posting is going to stick with you. I let them know, I say, just imagine if you were going to apply for a job, and the person that's sitting across from you that's going to hire you, if they go on your Facebook or your Instagram or your Twitter, will they still have the same perception of you that they did sitting in front of you? Now, I let them know that. I let them know you want to treat others how you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And then I show an emphasis on that since I touched the lives of a lot of young athletes, let them know you want to go to college. Some of these college coaches are looking on your Facebook to determine if they want to offer you a scholarship. And I let them know different stories that I've heard, different articles I've read of kids who have had the most talent in the world But a coach having to decide between this kid and another kid who's equally as talented, relying on their social media or what others say about them. I've known coaches to go to teachers. I've known coaches to go talk to friends of the family and just ask them one-on-one about the kid that they're looking to invest this scholarship on. So that's one way I let them know that you're going to get your academics, you're going to be an athlete, but it's other things that come with that that you're not going to know of or aware of, because there's going to be a lot of attention. There's going to be interviews. You're going to be giving things. You're going to be everything. Some people are going to think of you as cocky or seeing you in a different light, but you have to be humble because people are going to talk regardless. But the way you carry yourself, you don't want anyone to have to say or can say anything negative about you. So my big thing is just being a champion in all aspects of your life.
That's great. So you constantly are relevant, giving them fresh stuff that, you know, going on, you know, today that they're facing. Do you find that the kids have low self-esteem? And what are the age groups in those you mentor?
The youngest lives I've touched, youngest 4 years old, all the way up into college. And 4 years old. There was a 4-year-old camp came to one of my camps, and his mom was kind of hesitant. I said, "No, mom, we got him. We got him," because he was begging his mom to come out there. And we said, "Yeah, if this is something you want to do, we want to start him off on the right track." So,
okay, so there's no age criteria?
No age criteria at all.
Wow, that's awesome. That is amazing.
Yeah. For our
that's awesome.
For our after-school program, just because of the grade levels, they're going to be requirements. We're going to do first grade through fifth grade. But that's just going to be for our after-school program. But as far as the mentoring, as far as the camps, the programming, the different events that we host, is open to all ages.
Now, Ray, do you find that open it to all ages, are the children able to relate to each other? Because what I observed over the years is that they're getting younger and younger, but they're wiser and wiser. And, you know, a lot of those young children, like you was talking about, that 4-year-old, knew what he wanted to do and wanted to be there and be a part of it and was willing to walk away from his mom and just to be with people he didn't even know, you know, as far as adults over him, but he was willing to be there just to feel a part of it. So do you find that a lot in the younger kids, that they seem to be wiser and older but at a younger age?
I do, and a lot of the kids that are a little older than the other kids and some of the things that we do, I let them know that the kids younger than you are looking up to you. You're a role model right now. You may be looking at me as a role model, but you are a role model right now. There's younger kids in your school that look to you and look to see what you're doing, and they're going to monkey see, monkey do. So not only are you responsible for what you're doing, you're responsible for the actions of the kids younger than you. You're responsible for the younger brothers and sisters that you have. So that's why I lay an emphasis on that we're opening up to all ages.
So you're really doing what I call old school. You're taking it back to the basics. That, you know, and because I'm listening to you, and I say, this is so, like, deja vu, because that's something that my parents taught us as children in the household. And because I came from a large family, that you're responsible for them, because what they do is what they're going to see you do. So you need to set an example. And I heard that as a child growing up, and now you're teaching this to the young people that come to your camp and letting them know that as a person, a productive person in society, you have a responsibility, period. Not only for yourself, but whoever's watching you, even in your school, everywhere you go, somebody's watching. And even telling them about their Facebook, and that's so important because they get on social media and they feel like, okay, I got friends and I'm just, you know, going back and forth with my friends. But somebody's watching that. And it does affect you, because once you hit that send button, you cannot take that back.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Now, when you started Championships Foundation, did you start it based on your upbringing and the things that you felt that you would have wanted to acquire growing up as a teen?
Unconsciously, I did. I modeled championships around the way I was brought up. I was fortunate enough to have two great parents who supported me and my sister. And it's funny, when I hear myself talking to some of these younger kids, I sound like my parents. So it's all what I've been taught from my parents, different coaches who've had impacts on my life. And so I've just been like a sponge and soaked up all of these things and just been able to spit them back out to the youth.
You know, it's like our parents used to say, you don't understand now, but you'll understand by and by. Or, it's going to hurt me just as much as it hurts you, but it's okay. You'll thank me later. I grew up here and listening to all of that, but, you know, when I started the Soul of a Woman Foundation, I based it on the needs that I had being a survivor of domestic violence and, you know, having four children, two boys, two girls, and the obstacles that I faced. One of the greatest obstacles I faced was back to school. It was very hard trying to buy school supplies for the kids because they were in different grades and they needed different things and needed different books. They couldn't share the books, so it was really hard. So that's why the Soul of a Woman Foundation does back to school. We do about 350 kids a year, school supplies. Then the holidays, you know, I do gift cards at Thanksgiving because, you know, it's hard being a single parent, especially when you're focused on not getting public assistance and trying to make it work with what you have. And, you know, so we try and do that. And then toys, I remember Christmas was there, and I didn't have any extra money. All I had was bill money, and although it was Christmas, there was nothing I could do. And I, you know, Salvation Army, I applaud them for the work they're doing, because a couple of years, that's all we had was what they had gave away at Salvation Army. So what I do with the foundation is I do that with families. I'll, like, adopt a family or two and supply their Christmas for them. Because a lot of times, you know, when you do Salvation Army, you just get what they give you. But we need to be more specific in the needs they have. And, you know, I've given at least to 100 families two years in a row. But I just gave them different things that I had. But I'm more specific on a couple of families. I do like three families a year that I walk them through their education for the back to school and the holidays. Now, in saying that, Ray, I have an event coming up September 12th called Soul Retreat. And this year is the first year that I'm opening it up for young people. Just 3 hours. It's going to be free. And I took the ages 15 to 23 that I was going to work in that core to boys and girls. Do you think that's a good fit, a good age, being your experience with Championships Foundation?
I think that can be a good age. My plan B event I had, it was for middle school to college. So there's different events and different age groups that you can touch. So 15 to 23, I think that those are kids. You're going to separate that into probably two different categories, high school and those who are in college or being ready to graduate college. So those are two vital times of those kids' lives where they can soak things up and receive as much knowledge as possible.
Well, see, my thought is reaching that heart to empower lives. That's part of my slogan, Reaching Hearts, Empowering Lives. And the reason why I said that between that age group is because in high school around 14, 15, they're discovering who they are sexually, and there's a lot of peer pressure on what your sexual orientation is, and then there's a lot of depression that's going on. So that was kind of going to be the focus for that segment, for that age group, you know, to deal with suicide, depression, and purpose, you know, helping them discover who they are and whose they are so that they can get to the next level. Is that kind of like the dynamics of where Championships Foundation lies as well?
Exactly. It is. And I love to maybe say, I know we're on this limited phone interview tonight, but even after this, we can definitely sit down and brainstorm on different ideas.
Yeah, that would be awesome for us to do that. But I am looking forward to connecting with you after that, and I know your time is valuable, and I really appreciate you sharing with us, and hopefully come back again as we get closer to Soul Retreat 2015. I'm bringing in the master communicator himself, Mr. Les Brown, and the First Family of Motivation. That will be the evening session. So, because, you know, we kind of messed up, too. The big people don't know how to service the little people because we so jacked up. So I'm talking real talk and said, but if I wanted to talk in an etiquette way, yeah, we have to bring in individuals that will stimulate our mind and our thought process and to allow us to embrace a larger vision of ourselves
for
next
I
level. So I appreciate you and I celebrate you. And once again, Ray, before you leave us, please give the information on how individuals can connect with you and find out more about your foundation.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you guys for having me. I really enjoyed this interview. And for those parents, kids of all ages who are interested in learning more about Championships Foundation, you can email us at info@championshipsfoundation.org, or you can visit our website at www.championshipsfoundation.org. And our company phone number is 305-335-1442.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you, and I celebrate you. And thank you for being a role model and walking with the heart of a champion.
Thank you so much. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye. So Shirley, Soul Retreat is coming up, and I'm so glad we have the opportunity to talk with Ray and the different things that he's doing with his foundation, and you know, that we'll be able to create a marriage and a synergy, because, you know, evil prevails when good men and women do nothing. We're constantly walking and doing things, bumping heads, but, you know, the selfishness about it is, as I said about the adults, is we're so focused on ourselves, you know, how can I get to the next level, or how can I make ends meet, how can I get in this relationship, and then we have children and see them going through something, but then be like, oh, straighten yourself up, it ain't that serious. Well, if our life is seriously messed up, you know, they've been here for a minute, and their lives are messed up, too. They have serious issues going on and don't know how to communicate about it.
Very serious issues, you know, but a lot of them are stemmed from, you know, from their childhood as well. And I was listening to Ray when he was talking about how the pressure that so many of those young babies are under from their parents wanting them to be professional athletes. Now, we didn't have that type of pressure growing up, Val, when we were children. The children today are on a lot of pressure. They got the peer pressure from their friends to indulge in different things that normally they would not do on their own. Everything from trying, you know, like you were talking early on in the show about these different drugs and things. to skipping school or whatever, smoking or whatever, and then now to be a professional athlete, because the parents is putting the pressure on them that it is your responsibility to get my family out of this situation or our family out of this situation. So they're becoming, it's almost like they're becoming this catalyst, this bus, and the whole family gets to ride on their back to pull up out of that. But one thing I heard Ray say as far as his household and his parents is that they listen and they got to know their children and know what their likes and dislikes were, what was they really interested in, and they cultivated that and they supported them in a way that it was non-threatening, that it was non-pressure. But the pressure was there that if you're going to do it, you're going to do it good. And that's why I say you're old school. And that was one of the questions I was going to ask. Where are your parents from? Are they from Florida or where? But that was so much old school because my parents was like, whatever you start, you will finish.
You will finish.
And whatever you decide to do, you're going to put your all into it.
So yeah, you
remember
those
days. One of the things like the retreat and why all the years that I've done it, this is going to be the 10th annual retreat. You know, it is a fundraising event to raise money for the foundation, but the reason why I did it for men and women is because I want to empower them. I want them to embrace a larger vision of themselves, stop looking at their limitations and focus on the possibilities. Because as long as you have breath in your body, you have the ability to do more than you can ever imagine. But we look and focus so much on the distractions of life.
True.
We're always going to have distractions. There's always going to be a bill due. There's always going to be you laying off or fired with a job, and even if you're an entrepreneur and have your business, there are always going to be setbacks. But, you know, Willie Jolly said setbacks are a way for us to come back, and it's just a setup. So, and then last week we were talking about how a lot of times life happens, adversities happen just to cause a shift in our life so that we can go up. But more than 75% of the time, instead of going up, we go down. We be succumbed by the adversities of life, and we don't know how to claw our way through because of the fact that we wall around in a pity party instead of saying, okay, this happened to me, but I'm not going to let it beat me down. I'm going to keep going. That's what Muhammad Ali said. I'm not looking at what the challenge is. I'm looking at fighting to the very end. I can rest tomorrow, basically. And that's what we got to do. We have to fight to be here. That's what a heart of a champion is. A champion keeps on going and keeps on persevering in spite of the adversity, in spite of the challenge. You pull on those gloves and you go to swinging. I want to live. I want to be here. I want to be successful. I want to get to the next level. I want to make it to the top. That's the heart of a champion. And one of the other attributes of a champion is they're not going to step on your neck to get to the next level. A champion, a true champion, like Ray Shipman said, he's pulling people with him. He did what he wanted to do, and then he turned around and said, oh, I want to embrace some other young people. And he didn't discriminate and say just the guys. He said, I want to reach out to the young people, girls and boys, and empower them to go next level, empower them to be more and to do more. That is a true champion.
True. That is so true. And then when you empower them to do more, if they're an athlete or whatever and they get hurt, they'll know how to survive. They'll know how to come back and, you know, and reinvent themselves and do something different. And they'll know how to reach back and help someone else. That inspires, you know, a young person when they learn other things, that if this one thing doesn't work, then you have built, as you said, that champion. You've built them. They've built themselves and not only mentally but physically, but to be a productive person in society and always be able to survive no matter what the circumstances is, whatever may come their way. And I want to talk about Soul Retreat.
Yes.
With Soul Retreat
indeed.
And bring, you know, I want to talk about it because I am so looking forward to Soul Retreat. You know, and when you said 10 years, I'm like, wow, where did the time go?
I know.
Where did it go?
I know. Like, you know, when I first started Soul Retreat, Shirley, I started it just for women only because being a survivor of domestic violence, I was like, okay, I want to band together with my queens. We're going to just, you know, just enjoy one another, celebrate one another. I used to do it where we had empowerment workshops, and then after that we had a pajama party, and we just chill out and just start talking about life issues, and it was just, you know, a wonderful thing. And then when my queens went back home to their husbands and their boyfriends and started telling them about the things they learned and saw a difference in their lives and saw that they were talking up and not down to their spouses and embracing our kings and making them better and celebrating them, they were like, oh, we want to go next time. She need to have it for men and women. So after that first year, that was the only year it was for women only.
And you haven't looked back, and now you're including the young people. I mean, it's the next level.
Yeah, really. And, you know, Shirley, so much is going on with our young people. At the top of the show, I talked about, you know, I got an email from the church saying that they were going to walk on this march on Flaco on Thursday. Unfortunately, I'll be out of town because I would participate in that because we've got to band together and we've got to show them that we care. A lot of times individuals are on drugs, a lot of times they do alcohol, they drop school because they figure nobody cares, nobody's concerned about them, or they come so overwhelmed with life, they're defeated in their thought process of, and they only see their surroundings and the things that they embrace every day, and they just get overwhelmed and want to check out on life. And this new flock has been coming appealing, evidently, to individuals. And you know what troubles me the most, Shirley, is it always is in our neighborhood.
And that's the thing that I've never, you know, you're telling me something new. It's far here. I just haven't heard about it. But it always seemed to get into our neighborhoods. But you already know the neighborhoods that they start in, they can't afford to bring it in. So someone is bringing it in to them, experimenting.
Right. Yeah, well, we got to look at the whole thing of the matter is if they can distract us away from our dream, if we can be distracted away from our purpose, then we will cease to exist. The elections are coming up, and guess who won't be at the polls? Us. Because we're so busy bickering at one another. We're so busy on drugs and alcohol. We're so busy trying to make ends meet, working 2 and 3, 4 jobs just to make it, that the elections don't matter. And they figure, oh, well, I've heard so many of our brothers and our sisters say, well, why go vote? It's not going to change anything. Nothing changes. Everything stays the same, regardless of who's in the house. Well, you know, when you do nothing, the worst of the evils will wind up being in the house and will really be in trouble. The reason why we're working 2 and 3 jobs is because of the prior people that were in office that made a wreck of it in the first place. But yet they expect our president right now to wave a wand in 8 years and correct something that had been going on for the past 18 years. This is it's just not possible. It's not going to happen. So, you know, we've got to empower our minds. We've got to read. We've got to study. We've got to participate in our own rescue, because if we don't do it, nobody will. So Soul Retreat 2015, be on the lookout. You can go to Soul Retreat 2015 to register. It will be up next week where you can go online and register. As I said, we're going to be living our dreams with the First Family of Motivation and Les Brown. And we have special guest, Dr. Clarence Scranish. You know, Dr. Scranish has been on the show several times, and he's always giving good information about how we can extend our lives so we can be here. And then Dr. Jose Gomez, he joined us last year, and he's going to talk about relationships. Never before in history, Shirley, have we had so many relationship issues, married and unmarried.
It's like, you know what, it's like this vicious cycle that relationships have gone into. And it's like it's been sucked into this hole, this dark hole. Because, you know, when I hear all the relationship things that are going on in this world, like you said, married, unmarried, parents, children, you know, siblings, it's almost to a point where relationships are trying to be destroyed totally. That, you know, there's people just exist. Because we got everything. Remember I talked once, one show we talked about, you know, being disconnected and having all these electronic things and everything desensitizing us as human beings. It's like we're disconnecting. Somehow, some way, we got to learn to reconnect. Because if this disconnection continues, what is there going to be left? No one is going to be even saying anything to anyone if they cannot text or call or send a social media message or email or something. Communication is going to be tossed out the window. That's going to be the only form of communication available. And then when you don't talk and you don't connect, then you become desensitized to human feelings. So all of this stuff is playing into one really bad lane, and that lane is that we are losing each other. We are losing that human contact that we were meant to be. We're meant to be connected with someone. In order to be connected with them, you got to communicate with them. And then there's the touch, and then there's the feeling, and the hugging, and then love. So it's pointing into a cold, cold world. That's what it looks like. If we don't get a grip on this, we're getting out of control.
Yeah, absolutely. It is definitely out of control. And, you know, we've got to do something about it. I mean, if I be a voice and you be a voice and we, you know, challenge individuals to love on someone and hug on someone, I always tell individuals, love isn't love until you give it away.
Mm-hmm.
Got to give it away. You can save somebody's life just by saying, oh, you look wonderful today. I'm so glad to see you. Are you okay? You don't know what that would do to an individual. I can't tell you how many times I've done speaking engagements and someone would come up to me afterwards and say, thank you so much. I was going to end my life. I thank you so much. I was done. I didn't know what my next was going to be, but thank you for allowing your life to be exposed, to be transparent. Because, you know, a lot of times what that enemy in, that boogeyman inside, a lot of times that boogeyman is always telling you what you can't do, hindering you from being all that you can be. And we're our worst critics. That boogeyman is always telling us you won't, you can't, you will not. But you can do so much more. But you got to ignore the negative voices that you hear you have to ignore those people that are surrounding you that are telling you you're nothing and you won't be anything. You got to ignore the environment that you're in. I know it's hard. I know it's rough living in a situation that you can't see your way out. But I promise you, each day you have breath in your body, I promise you, each day it'll be better and better because you're breathing. And once you make it through one day and make it through the next, just look back and see all the things that God has brought you through. And that should build your courage. That should build your faith because of the fact that you are here and you're destined for greatness. You know, people think greatness is having $1 million, buying a huge car, buying a great big old house, having a lot of money in the bank. No, success is breathing air freely and enjoying it. That's success. That's power.
Yes. And once you get that power, no one can take that away from you. And that's power in that knowledge that you get. No one can take that. You can only give it away, but no one can take it from you.
Amen to that, Shirley. Well, this has been another great Hot Topics from the Soul. I thank Ray Shipman for joining us. He is the CEO of Championships Foundation. It is a nonprofit organization that inspires youth throughout education and sports. It is just not limited to sports, but education, and that is what's so powerful, and it's not just limited to boys, it is open to girls as well. So we applaud him for all the work he's doing. And I invite you to visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. There you will find out information as far as events and workshops and educational and motivational tools. And also look out for soulretreat2015.com. You'll be able to go online and register for the event that's coming up September 12th. And we have a special segment that is open to young adults between the ages of 15 and 23. For the day sessions, it is free. The evening event is open to the public. It begins at 5 p.m. And I look forward to you joining us next week for another Hot Topic from the Soul. This is your host, Dr. Valerie Parker and Shirley Carter. And we were talking to Ray Shipman, the heart of a champion. Good night and God bless.
Good night.